We're in a series here for a couple of weeks, and this series is entitled Key Questions About Life. Key Questions About Life. And as we look into this series, today specifically, we're going to be talking about, are people fair? Are people fair? And we're going to be looking in a little bitty book in the Old Testament called Obadiah. Now, you probably can't even find this one. I have to admit, when my notes fell out of my Bible earlier this morning, I couldn't find Obadiah. But for you, the blue Bibles that are provided, it's on page 653. And so you can just open up and follow along as we go through this. Last week, we talked about, as we looked at the first part of this little Old Testament book, what did we talk about last week? Is life fair, is where we talked, what we talked about last week. And we looked at an example, you know, I forgot the name of my title from last week, that's why I had to have your help. Anyway, is life fair? Yeah, I'm getting older, what can I say? Anyways, we talked about, is life fair? We looked at the first 9 verses of this Old Testament book, and really, we saw an unfair situation. And we looked at it and evaluated it, and we came back with the idea that life is not fair at times. You will run into unjust situations. Things are going to happen to you that are not fair. And that's really the first part of this book, the book of Obadiah. Today we're going to be talking about our people fair. Our people fair and what they do and how they treat you is one part of that, but another sense of that might be, are people equal? And we're not. It's not fair. When I was in college, Ruth and I attended the same university out in East Texas, Laterno University. And we actually had some classes together, and by golly, I pulled her through. And you know that is a big lie. Right, Deborah? Yes. But we had some classes together, and I remember studying, you know, maybe a little longer than she did, and she would get the A and I would get the C. It's not fair. And I would study hard. I really would. You got to believe me at times. And so some people can study for hours and get a C, and others for 10 minutes and they get an A. It's not fair. Amen? Amen. All right. For those of you that study a few minutes and get A's, God bless you. I don't know. Someday it'll be even, but probably not in that regard. But life isn't fair at times. What we were looking at in the book of Obadiah is a story of really two brothers. These brothers were Jacob and Esau. Jacob became really the father of the nation of Israel. And Jerusalem was located on a flat plain in the middle of an open area. Brother Esau and the Edomites were located way up high in the clefts of the rock, way up high in the mountains. And these two were brothers. They were related. They should have gotten along. They should have come to each other's need in time of want. And it's interesting, even in the Old Testament, we have some verses. Let's look at a couple of those. The first one is Genesis 25:23. And just to give you just a little background here of the book of Obadiah, the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and the peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other. That would be the nation of Israel. And the older will serve the younger. The Edomites ultimately will. This is back in the early part of the book of Genesis, and we see these two nations coming into existence. But there was further instruction that needed to be followed. The next verse is Deuteronomy 23:7. And the nation we're talking about here, the Edomites. And the Israelites were commanded, do not abhor or look down on an Edomite, for he is your brother. Do not abhor an Egyptian because you lived as an alien in his country. And God gave some specific instructions about these brothers that were related. Well, what happens in the course of time? A war broke out and the Philistines came in and invaded the ancient city of Jerusalem. It was a little more exposed and easy to get to. And as they came in and literally destroyed this city, there was a problem. The Edomites knew this was going on, and they could look down and see what was taking place. And they should have come down and come to their aid. Brothers help out brothers. Sisters help out sisters, right? Not in this case. The Edomites just looked down there, and actually they sent their army down and kind of spread out. But they didn't do anything. They didn't defend the city of Jerusalem. They did nothing. And in fact, they went beyond that. And as we go into these four verses we're going to look at this morning, they did even less than that. They helped the enemy. And so God is sending a message in the book of Obadiah of judgment on the Edomites. But as we look at it today, yes, we understand the theme of God's judgment, and it will come one day. But we need to look at the Edomites as a people today and look what they did. And the problem is what they did written over 2,000 years ago. People still treat people this way, and they shouldn't. All right, so where we're going this morning then, are people fair? What we're going to be talking about is how to handle unjust and unfair treatment in your life. On your outline, if you'll look at that, you just drop down to that first sentence. Let's start with this. How to handle unfair treatment from people. It's going to happen. Whether it's a boss, whether it's a co-worker, you will in your life experience unfair treatment from people. And there are things that you can do. There are a number of choices you can make. What we're going to do is we're going to look at this story. We're only looking at four verses this morning of what God is giving us to do this morning from this book. So we're going to be in Obadiah. We're going to be beginning to read in verse 10. And we're going to read, I'm going to do this. We don't do this often. I'm going to ask you to stand up, and I'm going to read all the verses that we're going to be studying this morning. This example comes to us from the book of Nehemiah, where the people stood up in respect to God's word as it was read. And so I'm going to read these four verses, and you can follow along with me in Obadiah verse 10. It says this, "Because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. On the day you stood aloof while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. You should not look down on your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor look down on them in their calamity. In the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble." Isn't that a special passage this morning? A very strong message, but I want to look deeper than just Edom and Jacob. I want to look at our lives and how we handle injustice from people. You may be seated. Let's begin then. The destruction has taken place. The city is in utter chaos and turmoil. Jerusalem is being burned. It is being looted. People are being taken captive by the Philistines, the army that invaded them. And we know this from history. Look at verse 10. "Because of the violence against your brother Jacob, the Edomites and the Israelites, you will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever." Wow. This invasion took place about 800 BC by the Philistines. Israelites and the Philistines were forever going after each other. In this case, they came in and the Philistines got the upper hand and literally wiped out the city of Jerusalem. But verse 10 just begins with kind of an overriding statement of God against Edom. "You will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever." Then what he does, as he continues to describe this, let's look at verse 11. "On that day, you stood aloof while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem. You were like one of them. When Jerusalem was captured, you stood and watched." Edomites, what are you doing? You're supposed to be defending that city. It's your brother. But no, you just stood around You watched. And in fact, when it came down to some of the possessions and people casting lots, you guys ran in the middle of that lot casting and said, I want a shot at this. And you looked down on your people, your brother. They carried off Jerusalem's wealth and Edom participated. Now God says, all right, here we go. Let me talk to you about what you did wrong and how you should treat them. Verse 12, God's charges against them. You should not look down on your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. They rejoiced. The Edomites came down. They were supposedly going to help them. And yet, they were kind of, yeah, go get them, Philistines. Yeah, take out that Israelite. Yeah, take stuff. Take possessions. And they were like cheerleaders on the sidelines. I mean, my goodness. And they're just watching this whole process go on. They're not lifting one finger to do anything. And they're rejoicing in the misfortunes of their brother, the Israelites, their brothers, the Israelites. Wow, brothers should not treat each other this way, neither should sisters. All right, people are not fair. People are sinful. All right, understand, on your outline now, number one, that main section says, understand, A, people may look down with pleasure when you are down. When you are down, for whatever reason it may be, it's interesting. People may look down on you with pleasure. Aha, they're getting theirs. How many of us have thought that at times? That's nasty. They look down on you with pleasure when you're down. God, in verse 12, is chastising the Edomites because they're doing this. He says, don't do that, especially to your brother, but to other people. Do not look down with them, down on them with pleasure when they're down. This was written 2,500 years ago, and this is Psychology Today 101. People act this way way too often. God says, don't do it. Don't do it, especially against my people, but don't look down on people with pleasure when they're down. And too often, we as Christians become the first to throw in the first dagger. Boom. God says, don't do that. Understand this. God is not pleased when you have a friend, a brother, or a sister who is down, and you look down on them with pleasure. Don't do that. God will take care of that situation. And in fact, here he is using very strong language against the Edomites. The first thing that we see is that God is not pleased when people who are down, we look down on them. What else does he say? Let's continue on. Verse 13, you should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster. Okay, so the gates were open. The Philistines had invaded, and now you've got Edomites following right on through those gates and going into the city. Nor look down on them in their calamity, in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. All right, so the Philistines marched right in. They destroyed the gates. They went in. They started taking the possessions. The Edomites, now they got active. They followed the Philistines right in and began to take items from the city of Jerusalem and steal things and things like that. And God was not pleased with that. And he said, you guys should have, first of all, defended Jerusalem. You didn't do that. That's bad enough. But now you're just going in with everybody else and taking everything. Looting, all the other things. They were... While Israel was down, Edom took advantage. Let me say it again. People are not fair. Second thing I want you to see from this, people may kick you when you're down. It's bad enough that they'll look down on you. That's the first point. Now, there are people that will take advantage of you when you are down. And the way they were figuratively and literally kicked here is the Edomites just went right into the houses and gathered up goods and just started taking advantage of their brother. They went after them. God says, do not do this. When someone is down, first of all, do not look down on them with pleasure. The second thing I believe He is teaching us is don't take advantage of them. Don't kick them. Don't grind it in. God says, don't do that. I am not pleased with you when you do that. Look at verse 14. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. All right, those that ran out of the city, let's say we tried to escape from Jerusalem, and we escaped out the gates before everything was destroyed, so we're running for the hills, literally. And what did the Edomites do? They said, whoops, we better make sure they don't miss any of those Israelites. And so what they did is they went after the Israelites, rounded them up as captives, and brought them back to the Philistines. Isn't that sweet? That's terrible. They were going to the next level, and God was not pleased with this. Let me say it this way. People are not fair on your outline. People may stab you in the back. They may stab you in the back when things are happening. You should have helped your brother, the Israelites. But you, Edom, you didn't even do that. While they were escaping, you rounded them up, you brought them back, you helped the Philistines. People may stab you in the back. This can happen. It happens many, many places. It can happen even in churches. People can get stabbed in the back. When I was at Church of the Open Door, we had a really difficult situation in 1992, and I've talked a little about this, but it's actually a very good example of being stabbed in the back. And there was a lawsuit filed against some of the staff and some of the board. So you had some of the staff and some of the board named here. Then you had the rest of the board of the church named here. And it's actually a very odd situation where you had two groups. And what was being claimed at this time was that the part of the staff and the board over here was covering up something that had happened in the church, and that was not the case. But I was named in this group over here, and we had a gag order on us because we had an attorney. We had to, and to defend ourselves. And it was just a very difficult period of time, even between, if you can imagine being on a board and the board being divided because some were named and some were named and some were not named. It was just an incredibly awkward time. And I remember that there were people that came up to me that I'd known for years. And I think they meant well. Probably they didn't. They said, how could you do this, Pastor Dave? How could you cover this up? And I couldn't really defend myself because of what was going on and what was taking place. And it was a very difficult time in my life. And I felt as if people that I had known for years were stabbing me in the back. Two or three friends did this that I appreciated, that I respected. But they looked at me and said, how could you do that? And I said, I didn't. And that's as much as I could say at that point. But it's interesting, when the board was in this awkward situation, one of the board members, a guy named Charlie White, and Charlie is now with the Lord, but Charlie White came and met with me and he said, Dave, I don't care what anybody says about you, and I know we're in this weird situation, but I stand by you and I support you. I can't tell you what that meant. Because I was getting stabbed in the back by people that I thought were friends and that cared. And it was just a very difficult and awkward time. But Charlie White stood up to him. He was a 75-year-old man at that point. And he was one of the most gracious, loving men. But I saw fire in his eyes at that point. He says, I'll stand by you, Dave. And the reality of that whole situation is the lawsuit was settled. There was no admission of guilt, but it was settled. That just happens. Tough time. People will stab you in the back. Interesting the progression here. People will look down on you with pleasure. People, what was the second point that I had? They will kick you when you're down, and then finally they'll stab you in the back. Welcome to life today. This is what was going on with what the Edomites were literally doing to the nation. People are not fair. Recognize that. Understand that. Now, how do we turn this? This is really a tough lesson, but it's actually a great lesson. How do we turn this? A couple of thoughts let me share with you. Those are the four verses that we read. Know for certain, on your outline, know for certain, number one, we talked about this last week and we will finalize this next week. Know for sure, certain that judgment is coming. In verse 10b, it says, you will be covered with shame, you will be destroyed forever. Recognize in your life that when you are treated unfairly, that judgment is coming. It's interesting what happened in 70 AD. The Romans came through, and the Edomites, who were high up in the caves that we talked about, and a mile trip and 700-foot high walls, the Romans came in and wiped them out, and they have never been back. This prophecy was fulfilled at that particular point. Judgment is coming, so justice is coming. Know for certain, number one, that judgment is coming. Number two, and this is really tough too, number two is trust in the Lord and let Him judge. Trust in the Lord and let Him judge. God will judge unfair and unbelieving acts. Let God deal with it. Now, there's a sense in which you can do certain things and you need to have wisdom. But in some situations, trust in the Lord and let Him judge. Put it in His hands. There's a real tough balance here. There's a balance of defending yourself, which needs to happen. But then at some point, you get to a point where it's not going to happen. And you're just going to have to trust God. And know that God will judge and God will set these wrongs right one day. And next week is all about what is that day? How is God ever going to do that? That is next week's message, but I wanted to say that today. And number three, let me say this, that forgiveness is a key part of dealing with injustice. What can you do? When you've done all you can to defend yourself in a proper way, one of the things, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to deal with is forgiveness. That means people have treated you unfairly. It could have happened in a church. It did with me. It could have happened in a workplace, and it has. It can happen in school, college. It can happen anywhere. Once you've done what you can do, there's a sense now where you're just going to have to trust God in His justice dealing with this, and then you need to forgive. That is much easier said than done. Amen? Amen. Well, I can't forgive that person. No way. That person said these things about me at Church of the Open Door. There is no way I'm going to forgive Paul. And that's his name. I'm not going to forgive Paul for what he said to me at Church of the Open Door and what he accused me of. We had no idea of what the facts are. God, I am not going to forgive him. That was my heart for a while. That was my heart for a while. You know what happens if you don't deal with that? It will become bitter, and it will become anger, and you will explode. Emotionally, you can't explode other ways too. One of the things you're going to have to do is recognize God's in control. God is going to take care of dealing with injustice. And number three, you need to today begin a process of forgiveness. Well, how can I forgive? That is so unjust. Well, there's a verse in the New Testament. I don't care how unjust Dave Metzger felt or how you have felt. Let's bring up Colossians 3, if we can do that. The next verse is this, Colossians 3:13. Say this verse with me. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord. So why do you forgive? What did Jesus Christ do for me? What did He do for you? He died on a cross. He did everything. It was totally unjust what happened to Him. It was part of God's plan, but He did it all. So I'm not going to forgive Paul because I'm pretty ticked off at Paul and angry and upset with him. Well, wait a minute. The Lord forgave me a huge debt. The Lord forgave me the debt of my sins. an eternity with Him. He's paid all that. And I'm not going to forgive Paul for what he said. I don't care what the offense is against you. It's not as big as what Jesus Christ has done for you because of Calvary and what He has done on the cross. You begin the process of forgiveness. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. It doesn't say, there's a few of them here you're not supposed to forgive. What's the word? Whatever. I worked on that all week. Whatever. All right, whatever grievances you may have, whatever. I got to say it one more time. All right, forgive as the Lord what? Forgave you. If you can't forgive, you better go back and look at Calvary because you were forgiven something amazing. And you need to learn forgiveness. I don't know where you're at in a process of injustice in your life. You may be carrying some stuff. That stuff happened to me in about 1991. Honestly, I've dealt with it. I went back to some people, said, I forgive you. But it took some time for me to get to that point. I don't know where you're at in that process. One, recognize God's going to set it straight one day. Second, trust Him to deal with it. When you've done what you can, trust Him. And finally, you better forgive. Because if you don't, it'll eat your lunch. Emotionally. Using these expressions. Be quiet up here, you guys. Everything's literal. It'll eat your lunch. All right. So, I'm going back over here. Come over here. All right. Yeah, come over here. All right. No, I like that side over there, too. All right. So, I'm saying trust God. Next week, we're going to talk about that. Okay, Pastor, I've heard people say trust God. Well, what is it that God will do that I should trust Him to do? And what we're going to do, if you would like to read ahead, beginning at verse 15, in that verse it says, the day of the Lord. God's instrument for judgment and justice and blessing is all wrapped up in that term, the day of the Lord. That's what we're going to look at next week. It's in the book of Obadiah, and God gave us that word where He says, you trust me, I'll take care of it, and here's how I'm going to do it one day. And that's what we're going to look at next week. The day of the Lord is an Old Testament term. You see it a number of times. You also see it in the New Testament. What does it mean? What does it refer to specifically? And it is God's tool for dealing with injustice. One day He will set it straight. Amen? Do you really believe that? Then if you really believe that, you need to trust Him and you need to begin the process of forgiveness. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for this book and these four verses that really just kind of disappear in this little book. But yet when we look at them, we see that we are guilty. Maybe we've looked down on people with pleasure in their displeasure. Maybe we've said things. Maybe we've stabbed them in the back figuratively. Lord, I pray that we've made it clear that Your desire is for us not to treat people that way, but to confront face to face and in love. There is certainly a place for that in Your Word, and we've studied that too. Lord, help us to have wisdom in our hearts and in our spirit from those who have treated us unfairly. Today there are people here in all different stages of being treated unfairly. I pray that we will kind of lay out some steps for them to take, to go and to work through and resolve these situations come up in all of our lives. Lord, we thank You for 40 days and thank You for the difference it's made in Patty Mercer's life, Regina's life a couple weeks earlier, Kevin's life a couple weeks back, and many others. And we just look forward to that and commit it to You. Thank You, Lord, that we can give to You, and we do that gratefully. In Jesus' name, amen.